Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Welcome back for Friday, the 28th of the month. I'm Mark Bayshore. Later this hour, the head of the Michigan Department of Community Health, Jim Haveman, talks about Healthy Michigan. The Healthy Michigan program is the, of course, Medicaid-supported health initiative that Michigan residents, low-income Michigan residents, can begin enrolling in next Tuesday. There's all kinds of activity on the health insurance front just in the next couple of days. We'll revisit what Healthy Michigan is all about and maybe some of the potential challenges involved there with Jim Haveman coming up. It's also an LSO, a Lansing Symphony Orchestra Masterworks performance tomorrow night featuring Leonard Bernstein, Aaron Copland, Donald Erb, all on the program tomorrow night. We'll visit with conductor Timothy Muffet coming up in just a few minutes. Well, there's one news story that has kind of grabbed everybody's attention here. The first part of our Friday, U.S. Representative Mike Rogers of our 8th District here in East Lansing says he will not seek re-election after his term ends this year. He made the announcement official on a Detroit radio station. He says he's been invited regularly to talk about national security issues on TV and radio, and he says he'll serve out the end of his term, and then he plans to launch a national radio program on the Cumulus network. Here to respond and to discuss this very sudden decision and quite unexpected development, Bill Ballinger, the veteran political journalist and member of the staff of Inside Michigan Politics. Bill, good to see you.
My pleasure, Mark.
What do you make of this?
A shocker.
Yeah.
Nobody saw this coming. The incumbent congressman didn't exactly give what's known as a heads up to members of his own party with a filing deadline less than a month away, April 22nd. Not very much time for anybody thinking about trying to replace Mike Rogers to make up his or her mind about whether they want to run, whether they're Republicans or Democrats. This seat is not an overwhelmingly Republican seat. It's only about, I'd say, a 54% Republican-based seat. I think as long as Mike Rogers was in it, probably it was impregnable. I don't think the Democrats could have beaten Mike Rogers. But with Mike Rogers gone, there's a possibility that a Democrat could steal this seat. So I think it's a race that's going to be really fascinating to watch this year, however it turns out.
Does the Michigan Republican Party, do you believe the Republican Party has a short list at this point of people prepared to enter the race?
Well, I don't think the Republican Party is a monolithic entity like the chairman of the party or the state party organization. They don't have, some kind of determining say. It's not that hierarchical. I think there are a bunch of individual Republicans out there scrambling around right now trying to figure out, do I want to run? How quickly can I get organized?
And they would. Who comes to mind?
Well, they would include people like State Senator Jim Marlowe. Now, that is going to be an unfamiliar name to people in the Lansing area. Joe Hewn, who is the state senator in Livingston County, his district comes over, I think, into Ingham, or at least the new district that he has, will. There is Mike Bishop, we shouldn't forget, who is the former Senate Majority Leader, who has just taken a new job with a credit card company as legal counsel. He may not choose to get into it for that, but he's from Oakland County. Let me just mention, Mark, one thing. People here in the Lansing area, because we're the state capital and we're redolent with politics here, tend to think of ourselves as the center of the universe, but we're not. In this district, the plurality of the population is not in Ingham County or in Livingston County. It's in Oakland County.
Okay.
So both the Democratic and the Republican nominee conceivably could come from Oakland County, not from Ingham.
How much of an opportunity is this for Democrats?
I think it is a good opportunity. Now, this year doesn't look like a particularly good year for Democrats. That's one thing the Republicans have going for them, plus the fact that this district is marginally Republican. But I think there is a possibility that if the Democrats field the right candidate and there isn't too much acrimony spilling over from a Democratic primary, and the Republicans perhaps don't have a very strong nominee, that the Democrats could steal it.
Along those lines, I was just handed a sheet of paper here. Our producer, Joe Lindstroth, just got off the phone with Barb Byram, the Ingham County clerk, and she says she has heard from many family and friends who have been encouraging her to run, and Barb Byram says she's going to take a very close look at running.
Sounds to me, Mark, like she might be in. Now, as I understand
not
it...
Not the first Byram to run for the 8th Congressional
Well, that's
district.
That's interesting because her mother, Diane, lost the closest race in the entire United States in the year 2000 to Mike Rogers. A handful of votes, a couple of hundred votes at most. And Mike Rogers has been there for 14 years. Diane Byram has gone on to success not only in the legislature but in a political consulting public relations business, but her daughter, Barb, has served in the state house for three terms, is now the Ingham County clerk, and so she's a natural heritor of her mother's political mantle, and she would be a strong Democratic nominee. She could run in the middle of her four-year term as clerk, and even if she lost, she'd still be Ingham County clerk.
Keeping in mind the importance of Oakland County here, though, what about Democrats further into southeast Michigan?
Yeah, well, possibly, I don't know where all these Oakland County Democrats live over there because Oakland County is divided up between several congressional districts.
Right.
Lisa Brown, the county clerk over there, who at one point was a colleague of Barb Byram in the State House of Representatives. She's the Oakland County clerk. She might be a possibility. Andy Meisner is the county treasurer. These are all people who live in Oakland County, but where they are with respect to this district, I'm not totally sure. But the Democrats have become stronger in Oakland County over the last few years. They're starting to win countywide offices over there. And Oakland County has a plurality of the population in this district.
Could this lead to a contentious primary or two?
It could. And some people are conjecturing that it could leave a lot of blood on the floor in either or both sides of the political spectrum, Republican and Democrat, depending on who runs.
We'll repeat that we just, current state producer Joe Lindstroth just got off the phone with Ingham County Clerk Barb Byram. She says she is going to take a very close look at running. MERS News also quotes East Lansing State Representative Sam Singh this morning, words to the effect that he will not rule anything out, or words very, very close to that. Somebody else here joked today, which Byram do you think is going to throw their hat in the ring?
Well, the bottom line is the name is Byram, and so there's high name ID right off the bat. I mean, when you stop and think of Barb and her mother, between them, they have served for 25 years.
Now, do they face challenges in southeast Michigan, though? You pointed out the advantage of the advantage somebody from Oakland County might have. Do they face a disadvantage trying to make an inroad in south, further?
Well,
in
they could if somebody of prominence emerges as a candidate from Oakland County, but we don't know that that's going to be the case. If there's somebody with as high name ID as Barb Byram has here in Ingham, running from Oakland County, that would be a big challenge. So even though Barb Byram would probably clean up here in Ingham County, the battleground would be Livingston between the two behemoths, Oakland and Ingham, and then how well can Barb do in Oakland County and how well would the Oakland County candidate do over here in Ingham? And I'm talking about a Democratic primary. I'm not even talking about the general election.
Yeah. We'll also point out Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero issued the following statement this morning regarding Congressman Rogers' announcement he'll not seek re-election in the 8th. Quote, "While I have fundamental political differences with Congressman Rogers, I want to be among the first to thank him for his service to our state and nation. I also want to make it clear that I continue to deeply appreciate the trust and confidence placed in me by the citizens of Lansing as their mayor over the past 9 years. At this time, I intend to continue serving the people of Lansing and doing everything I can to drive the manufacturing resurgence that is creating new jobs and renewed prosperity for citizens on Main Street here in Michigan and across America. So there we go. We have heard from
Sounds like from he may be waiting for a draft. Like, if people come beating on my door, I might succumb and run, but otherwise I'm content with being mayor of Lansing. By the way, he and Mike Rogers are co-alumni of Adrian College. They knew each other back in college, and they're kind of buddies.
Do you think Congressman Rogers would have gotten out if this created too strong an opportunity for Democrats?
That is a really good question. I mean, I think it is rather questionable that Mike Rogers would wait so near to the filing deadline to drop this bombshell. And it isn't as strongly a Republican seat as a lot of people seem to believe it is. It's only about a 54% Republican-based seat. But I think that Mike Rogers felt, he's got limited number of years left in his prime income earning capacity. He has probably a golden opportunity to go on national talk radio, and he's done a very good job as a TV spokesman on intelligence, representing the U.S. House in the last year or two. He's picked up a lot of followers, and I think he felt it was time to, I hate to say this somewhat crassly, cash in and call it a day and start out on a new career. So, and he could come back into politics.
Well, that was
point.
My next question. Yeah. Could this actually be a prelude to a run for even higher office?
Well, I think, first of all, he would have to make this transition official. He would have to get up to speed on Cumulus. He would have to develop a reputation, maybe even spread his reputation on talk radio. Maybe he'd get into a lot of these Sunday talk shows in Washington that we see on Sunday morning. And maybe at some point he might decide, I'll come back and maybe run for U.S. Senate in Michigan, maybe run for governor with even more statewide prominence than he has now. And let's face it, even though here in this area we know Mike Rogers, and he's got a high profile here because he served in this area so many years, statewide he is not well known at all. He does not have high name ID. And this is one thing that could project him into higher name ID, potentially taking this radio gig, than if he remained in Congress indefinitely or until a time he decided, I want to run for the Senate or governor, and he would find, I've got a big, steep hill to climb to get my name ID up to the point where I can beat candidates from Southeast Michigan, the Detroit area, or anywhere else that are going to be much bigger names.
Bill, we want to thank you. We hijacked you fresh out of the off-the-record studio here to join us here this morning to talk about this. Appreciate it a lot.
My pleasure,
Bill
Mark.
Ballinger of Inside Michigan Politics. Its current state.
WKAR. It's our spring pledge drive. I'm Joe Lindstroth, current state producer, here with Mark Bayshore, current state host. It's been a wild morning.
Been a really stimulating morning with Congressman Rogers' announcement, and as much time and care as we take with all of our interviews, we had less time to plan our little encounter with Bill Ballinger here this morning, but it's such an interesting development ordinarily our segments are planned over some number of hours or days. What you just heard was an exception to that rule, but there was definite value. A lot of the people on the current state team have been on the phone here the last hour or thereabouts. You were able to speak with Barb Byram, Joe, which is a very interesting comment and very relevant to this whole unfolding story. Current state is about all of that. It is about Michigan politics. It is about what's going on in our area and in our state, whether we have days to plan for these things and mold these stories, or if we're more or less improvising and going along hour by hour with some of these stories. So those are high priorities for us. If that's a priority for you, please call us now and contribute to these efforts financially. 517-353-5000. Online, you can do that at WKAR.org.
517-353-5000. Folks, this is the last day of our spring pledge drive, the last day to pledge during current state in the morning here. We have a lot of unshaven faces this morning. I think everyone kind of scrambled out of bed and ran into work. I mean, this is the commitment that we give to you with this show, here, the public, to scramble when there's breaking news, to bring you thoughtful content. If that's something that you value, if you've been listening this morning to find out the latest on what's been happening, if this is valuable information to you and you're out there and you haven't pledged, I'm speaking directly to you. This is the last day. We really could use your help to sustain this. 517-353-5000 or WKAR.org.
I joined Melissa Benmark here on Morning Edition this morning, and we generated an awful lot of momentum
here.
The phone's
been ringing this morning.
We generated a couple $1,000 in just about an hour this morning, thanks to a challenge from Beth Alexander, and thanks to just an awful lot of people who joined the momentum this morning. Please, let's keep this momentum going during our last day of our pledge drive. We are short of where we would like to be, candidly. And these dollars add up. They make a difference. We take our role as stewards of your dollars very seriously. Please call us, 517-353-5000, with whatever you can reasonably afford to get behind the effort here at WKAR.
Again, this is the last day to pledge. 517-353-5000 or WKAR.org. You know, again, the research kind of shows that folks who come to public radio, it takes a couple of years, Mark, to
right.
pick up that phone and
right.
call. And so we know we brought a lot of new listeners here to WKAR because this show, Current State, has been available to listeners here, but it's just been about a year and a half. So compare that with the studies that show we got about another year to wait for a lot of you folks who are listening right now and who have been listening for the last 6 to 8 months. I'm making a personal appeal to you that if you could kind of cut that research short, maybe debunk it a little bit. If you pick up your phone and just give us a call right now at 517-353-5000, or if you don't feel like talking to anyone on the other end of the phone, you can go online at WKAR.org. We could really use your support. As Mark said candidly, we are struggling a little bit on this drive, and we do need resources to make this show go, and we do need resources to bring you all of this content and to put all of this together. And we're asking just a couple times a year, including this time, and this is our last day. And so I really want some of you folks here who have been listening to this show to please consider that we can't do this without you. And please don't let other people kind of call in for you and maybe you wait for the next time. Be proactive. Do your part. Give us a call. 517-353-5000 or at WKAR.org.
50% of our funding comes from you. The other 50 comes from businesses. It comes from the university, from the state government and federal government grants, and a few other sources. You provide the critical other half. The gap between federal funding and listener support is growing. Please help us close that gap. 517-353-5000 to Current State and WKAR.
This is the last day, folks. Next week, we'll bring you full Current State. This is the last day to call. 517-353-5000 or WKAR.org. And thank you.
Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Two notable developments related to health insurance take place in just a few days. Monday is the last day for Americans to sign up for coverage on healthcare.gov without incurring a penalty on their federal taxes next year. Healthcare.gov is the federal website functioning as an insurance exchange for 36 states, including Michigan. The next day, April 1st, is the first day close to a half million low-income Michigan residents can enroll for coverage offered by the Healthy Michigan Plan. That's the state program funded temporarily by an expansion of the federal Medicaid program. Late yesterday, I sat down with the director of Michigan's Department of Community Health, Jim Haveman, to talk about what Healthy Michigan offers and about potential concerns with the plan. I first asked him about the key goals of Healthy Michigan.
The main goals of the Healthy Michigan Plan are to provide a health plan for the working people in the state who don't have health insurance. And there are about 1.2 million people in the state who are adults who don't have health insurance, about 570,000 of those that are working. And so what they do, they go to the emergency room and they need health care, or they wait till they're stage four cancer to come into the hospital. This way they can get a basic health plan with all the essential benefits at a reasonable rate, and they can do it starting April 1 with the Healthy Michigan Plan.
A few of the key benchmarks for eligibility here: must be a Michigan resident, age 19 to 64, income at or below 133% of the federal poverty level, that's roughly $15,000, I believe, for an individual, $34,000 for a family of four, do not qualify for or are not enrolled in Medicare, do not qualify for or are not enrolled in other Medicaid programs, are not pregnant at the time of application. Do you have sign-up goals and timelines similar to Obamacare?
Well, we have timelines. Our goal is to sign up 322,000 people the first year. That's going to take a lot of work by hospitals, clinics, community mental health boards, public health departments.
That's by the end of 2014.
Right. Okay. And I think we'll do that. And but there's potentially, by 2016, we'll probably have over a half a million people enrolled in this program. And what this will do is really focus in on chronic conditions. Remember, 75% of the health care costs in the state of Michigan go for chronic care. And if we can begin moving that needle a little bit to lower it, the cost of health care will diminish. The growth won't be as great as what we see right now. And so the Healthy Michigan Plan is going to focus in on chronic conditions, whether the person smokes, is obese, how they're dealing with their asthma, diabetes, and engage the person in dealing with that to prevent further costs later on.
The plans offered will cover what are described as 10 essential health benefits, and those include emergency services, hospitalization, maternity and newborn care, prescription drugs, and six others. You started touching on this. There are some features of Healthy Michigan that the legislature negotiated with the federal government. There's some cost sharing involved as well. Tell us a little more about that.
Well, people, the legislature, and what I think folks need to understand, that this is really a Michigan design plan. This came out of the Michigan legislature and the governor. Governor Schneider early on believed the importance. When people have insurance, they're healthier. And we also saw that there was some cost shifting that went on from hospitals with uncompensated care, about $1 billion into the premiums that people pay commercially. So I think we can decrease that a bit. And so there will be some cost sharing. People will pay a percentage of their income, maybe $250, $300 a year as a premium. There'll also be some co-pays, which they'll be paying into. So it's not that they're just coming in and getting a health card. And they have to engage in a chronic benefit, in a chronic condition, to get a lower premium, which the health professional can decide in regards to the contract that they make between the doctor and the individual.
And will these plans offer coverage for pre-existing conditions?
Yes, they will. And there's 13 health plans out there. These are the Blue Cross Blue Shield, Molina, Meridian, Priority Health are all part of the healthcare delivery system that we have in this state.
As I understand it, participants also need to work with doctors who participate in one of the Medicaid plans that are being offered. Are there enough doctors in that category to cover cover the demand, or could there be a problem there?
Governor Snyder, when he looked at whether Michigan should do this or not, not only did we ask the 13 health plans if they had provider panels to the point where they could handle the additional 322,000, there was also a survey, and the answer was affirmative. There also was a survey of the primary health care docs in the state, and 80% of them said that they were able to handle additional patients. So we felt comfortable moving ahead with those assurances.
Michigan.gov/HealthyMichiganPlan is the website for Healthy Michigan Plans. Clarify one thing, though. For people doing this online, is going to that website the only step that will be necessary, or will a visit to healthcare.gov also be necessary?
Well, people are going to, if they go to the website, which you just indicated, beginning April 1, they will be referred to the correct website that they can fill out the application. There are three ways that people can see if they're approved for this or even eligible for this. One is by the website. One is by a phone number, which will be also public, or going to their local Department of Human Services office. There's one thing I think is important, Mark, is that there's no due date. You got to have this done. If you do this in April, you will be eligible from April 1. So there's no need for folks to rush out to do this just on April 1 to see if they're eligible. They can do it on April 3, and it will be backdated to April 1. And as much as possible, people should use the internet to sign up if possible.
For people who don't have internet access, tell us more about that.
Well, they'll see some of the op-ed pieces. They'll see some of the informative stuff that's in the newspaper and on the media over the weekend before April 1. They'll see the website. They'll also see a phone number that they can call to see if they're eligible. And they can also go to their local Department of Human Services office. There'll be others like Enroll Michigan and a lot of groups that are out there. A lot of the nonprofit agencies, hospitals will have forms on hand that they can give people. So there's going to be a wide range of options that people can, if they want to find out how they can, if they're eligible, the best thing to do is to call the number or go to their local human service office if they don't have access to the internet.
Our guest on Current State is Director of the Michigan Department of Community Health, Jim Haveman. We're talking about Healthy Michigan insurance policies, which Michigan's neediest citizens can begin enrolling in next Tuesday. The Michigan Association of Health Plans has acknowledged concern about ongoing state funding for Healthy Michigan. Remind us what the uncertainty is there.
Well, for the first 3 years of this plan, it's 100% funded by the federal government as part of the Affordable Care Act, and then it decreases to 97% federal money, down to 95%, and over several years it's at 90%. The governor has recommended that the general fund money that's used for the match to make it 100% be set aside so it can be drawn down from a savings account so there doesn't have to be a reallocation of general fund every year, and that's what Mr. Murdoch's talking about, and it's something that the governors recommend that we take care of, and it's just a matter as the legislature works this through if they're willing to set that money aside.
How much do you share Rick Murdoch's concern?
Well, the governor shares it, and the governor had this funded through 2034 with what he proposed.
Are you satisfied with the attention this is getting in the legislature?
The legislature has been through this. They passed this bill last August. The governor signed it in September. They're fully engaged. We're keeping them informed. As you know, the process had some challenges to it, but right now this is the best thing for the state of Michigan.
There are some concerns from many folks who assist the mentally ill residents of Michigan. The governor's budget proposes a cut of about $186 million, about 65% of state money, that went to community mental health centers with the idea that it would be replaced by federal dollars from Healthy Michigan. But enrollment will take a while, and it's not expected to rise to the level of current funding until the end of next year. What do you plan to do in the meantime to ensure that funding remains steady for Michigan community mental health centers?
Well, the community mental health boards and the Healthy Michigan plan, it's what behooves the community mental health boards and everybody is to get people signed up. And there's no reason why, with the hundreds of thousands of people that are involved who don't have coverage right now, can get engaged in this program. And so they just have to start signing people up. we think there's enough general fund money there, there's enough Healthy Michigan Plan money that they'll equalize out. And in fact, the legislature put some additional GF money into there so that if it's needed, that can be brought down. So I'm comfortable where things are right now, and we keep meeting with folks. But we can't fund it both ways. We can't have 100% general fund money and 100% Healthy Michigan Plan money. They've got to start supplanting each other, and I think we've got enough assurances to go forward, and I'm comfortable.
Are you concerned, though, that the people who are sick and already being treated may be the first ones to sign up?
Well, I think it's going to be – everybody is poised to begin signing people up on April 1. I think we're going to ratchet up very quickly on the number of people who are covered on this. So that's where I'm focusing people. Get people signed up so they can get the coverage and so the community mental health boards can get that reimbursement.
So you are confident that the state's community mental health centers will not suffer considerable funding cuts as we go through this transition?
I come out of the community mental health movement, and you know, our process here is not to do harm, and we're watching this very carefully.
It's also been estimated by researchers that nearly as many who are expected to enroll in the Healthy Michigan Plan, about 400,000, will remain uncovered by any insurance, Medicaid, Healthy Michigan, or private insurance. And that's for a lot of reasons, not always clear, that some people feel they can't afford it, they don't want it for some reason. They're young and they're healthy and they don't think they need it and so on. Yet doctors still have a legal obligation to treat these folks. How much does that concern you? How much does that population concern you?
Well, we've been watching this closely at the federal level. As you know, the federal government has really struggled to have healthy people under 30 to sign up because people feel they're invincible. And I think we have a challenge to educate healthy folks that insurance is important. But I'll tell you, when somebody gets in a car accident or somebody gets sick, they go to the emergency room and it's uncompensated. There's no reason why these folks who, if they're eligible, couldn't have health insurance. And so we're really telling folks that it's important as a right, as a citizen of this state, that if you're eligible, get the health care coverage because it benefits the health provider, it protects the infrastructure, and it'll give you the coverage that you need. And I'll tell you, many of these chronic diseases, if you catch them early, we can treat them. And so people got to come in early when they feel the symptoms, not when it's too late.
Up until this point, the state's not invested much in marketing the healthcare.gov website or assisting residents in enrolling in the health insurance exchanges. What efforts will be taken to get the word out about Healthy Michigan and to help folks get signed up?
We've done webinars. We've done educating of the stakeholders. We've got programs, Mark, like this that gets the information out. We'll be doing informative brochures. The Department of Human Services is really educating its people on this. We got the website. You'll start seeing some billboards go up. You'll start seeing some more media advertising.
Is your marketing budget up to speed on that, though? Is it adequate?
It's adequate.
For our listeners who aren't clear on the difference between who's eligible for Healthy Michigan and who should go to healthcare.gov, for example, can you break that down for us?
Well, healthcare.gov is the federal exchange. These are people who are at about 100% of poverty, about $15,000, $16,000 a year, up to 400% of poverty can go to the federal exchange. Remember, Michigan opted out of doing an exchange, so it's a federal exchange. So what the Michigan Healthy Plan, the $322,000 for the Healthy Michigan Plan is basically for people from about 138% of poverty to zero. And it's interesting, about 80% of the $322,000 that I talked about who would be eligible for the Healthy Michigan Plan are below 100% of poverty, so they're not even eligible for insurance on the federal exchange. So most of the people who sign up on the Healthy Michigan Plan will be people who probably make less than $16,000 a year.
That's James Haveman, director of the Michigan Department of Community Health. We spoke about the Healthy Michigan Plan for low-income state residents. Enrollment begins next Tuesday.
Hey, good morning. It is our spring pledge drive. I'm Joe Lindstroth, current state producer, here with Mark Bayshore, current state host. It is the last day of this spring pledge drive. We're asking you folks to give us a hand, give us a call at 517-353-5000 or WKAR.org. To borrow a phrase, Mark, from you, with all this news going on and all the news expected next week with this Healthy Michigan plan and same-sex marriage, and now, you know, this the congressional seat up for grabs, we're going to have to roll in barrels of French roast. As you
That's
like
right.
to say.
Just to keep us all adequately stimulated, it's always invoke the French roast.
But we'll buy in bulk with your donation dollars, folks, to keep us going, to keep down the cost. I joke, but we do ask for your support. We work really hard here to bring you all of this great news, all of this content here that you've come to rely on here at 9 in the morning, or perhaps, you know, a little bit later when you drive home at 6 o'clock. The number to call is 517-353-5000 or WKAR.org.
As I pointed out earlier, most of the time we have some period of hours to tend to our segments that you hear on Current State. This morning was an exception with the breaking news involving Congressman Rogers not running for re-election from the 8th District. It has set all kinds of forces into play. And we jumped on this story. We'll update you here momentarily. Current State did speak with Ingham County Clerk Barb Byram this morning. She says she's going to take a very close look at running. State Representative Sam Singh of East Lansing tells MERS News that he is not taking it off the table. We did hear from, the statement from Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero. Mayor Bernero says he intends to continue serving the people of Lansing. But we got Bill Ballinger on the air here this morning to try to address this breaking news and keep you up to speed. You can't stay on top of everything that's going on here in mid-Michigan. There's too much of it. We got state government here. We have this enormous university nearby, which generates all kinds of interesting news. But Current State steps in to help you sift through it all and make sense of it all. There's a value to that. I'm sure there is, or you wouldn't be listening now. 517-353-5000 to contribute to our efforts. We need your calls now, or go to our website at WKAR.org. Click on the Give Now link.
Yes, it is our last day of our spring pledge drive. This is the last time when folks who are out there listening who have not yet called, we're asking you to please pick up the phone or go online at WKAR.org or give us a call at 517-353-5000. For you folks who have yet to call, but you do listen, I will remind you that in a year and 2 months, we have given you more than 800 different conversations. 800, that's an astounding number, and I can physically feel it. But we've given you more than 800 conversations to bring you all the different voices in the Lansing area, in the mid-Michigan area, across the state, the country, even internationally. Arts, health, culture, music, neighbors in action segments, politics like we've done today, things that affect people who have no voice in our community. We really care about those issues. We like to give voice to those folks and let you hear from their own words with our Neighbors in Action segment and other things. If you've been listening over the course of the last 13 months, this is what we brought you, more than 800 different conversations. I think there is some value to that, or like Mark said, you wouldn't be listening right now. And we're asking, if you haven't picked up the phone yet, to please do your part to support this. It really means a lot. It makes a difference, just like your vote does in an election. The call to public radio makes a difference no matter how much you pledge, especially to us here at Current State. 517-353-5000 or at WKAR.org.
Melissa Benmark referred to it this morning as kind of a potluck approach to a joint, a group effort. Somebody can be counted on to bring the baked buns to the potluck. Other people bring the baked beans and bring the chicken. Joe brings guacamole. Whatever amount you can bring to WKAR is put to good use. We would appreciate your call very much now. We generated some momentum this morning, and we want to keep it going all day long. 517-353-5000. Please call now.
That's right, folks. It is the last day. I'm appealing to you folks who have yet to call. It is the last day, but you do listen. More than 800 different conversations we brought you, that's worth something. 517-353-5000 or at WKAR.org. And thank you very much.
Current State on 90.5 WKAR. The Lansing Symphony Orchestra's next Masterworks concert is tomorrow night at Wharton Center, and our Melissa Benmark has looked into the program and the event, and she joins us now. What's going on tomorrow night?
Ooh, lots of good 20th century American music. Leonard Bernstein, Aaron Copland, and a trombone concerto. Unusual instrument for a concerto, but it'll be played by MSU Music faculty member Ava Ordman. And I spoke with Timothy Muffet about this trombone concerto by an American composer that you may not have heard of before, but you will if you check out the concert.
Donald Erb was a very important 20th century composer, and he worked both in the acoustic world and also in electronic music, which in the 20th century was really the advent and major developments in electronic music happened then. But he writes really extraordinary music that incorporates many non-traditional techniques for playing the instrument and for playing all the instruments, not only the trombone, which is the featured instrument in the concerto, whom is asked to do many things other than just the traditional style of playing trombone, but also the orchestra does many non-traditional things. But as a whole, the piece comes together into a remarkable piece of music that really makes a powerful impact.
You also have Copland's Letters from Home, which I understand was commissioned for a radio broadcast. Tell us a little bit about that.
The title says it all. I mean, anyone that knows Aaron Copland, this came from his most popular period of his music, with the same time that he wrote Appalachian Spring and Lincoln Portrait. And so anyone who's familiar with Copland's music and they know of a work of his called Letter from Home can probably get a good idea of what it sounds like. It's just a sweet, lovely piece, a little bit of drama in the middle, have to have some of that, but a very appealing piece of kind of Americana nostalgia.
And then the Leonard Bernstein symphonic dances from West Side Story. It's music that a lot of people are familiar with. How do you take a symphonic arrangement like that and take it out of the, you know, people might have the words in their head or whatever. How do you approach that as a just getting them to focus on maybe the music and not so much what they know from the musical?
Sure. Well, I think Bernstein and his collaborators on this, he had Sid Raman, I'm never sure how that's pronounced, and one other gentleman worked on this orchestration, and they took care of that for us. And I think the beauty of this piece, the Symphonic Dances from West Side Story, he borrowed that title from Rachmaninoff's Symphonic Dances, I'm sure. The idea was to take it out of the pit orchestra configuration where, you know, you have a band of 25 or 30 people and set it for truly symphonic forces with the full complement of the symphony orchestra, including a very broad percussion section. We have an alto saxophone in there and full symphonic brass. And really bring the piece to a whole new light, the light of the concert hall. I think it brings out a great deal of the richness and drama in the music.
We'll be right back.
there a particular movement of that that you are particularly fond of?
Well, you know, it really flows. It's a through composed set of dances, so we transition from one right to the other, and you just can't go. This is such inspired music. I mean, it'd be hard to choose. We've got the rumble in there, the mambo is in there, the party scene. Then there's some Jets and Sharks music, and I mean, it's just really. But it holds together so nicely. It's really a wonderful setting of that very famous and popular music into the symphonic statement.
And then there's the Candide Overture, which back when I was a classical music host was my very favorite way to start a shift. What do you enjoy about that, and what do you think the listeners will enjoy?
Well, again, it's just a really inspired piece, 4 minutes of music that without a single note out of place, and really came from a genius who was inspired, you know. So that says it all for me. It's a classic and probably one of everybody's favorite pieces of music for good reason.
Bernstein, you know, noted so much as a conductor. Do you notice differences in conducting someone's work who was that great of a conductor?
You know, that's a good question. There are a lot of parallels between. I just worked on a performance of a Mahler symphony, and a lot of parallels between Bernstein and Mahler. And Bernstein enjoyed pointing out those parallels as well. Bernstein, you know, really wanted to be known as a composer, even more so than a conductor. And so I think he may have been. He wrote a great deal of music. A few pieces are still played with some regularity. I think we come at it, the fact that he was a conductor doesn't affect the way we come at the music. It oftentimes means that the composer will be highly specific in what they write because they know what kind of problems and questions are encountered. We certainly see that with Mahler as well, who wrote volumes of information in his scores along with just the notes and a lot of instructions. We don't see quite so much with Bernstein, but... the music is the music, and we just come at it the same way, I think.
Conductor Timothy Muffett, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.
And WKAR's Jody Knoll will host a preview talk before the concert with soloist Ava Ordman. It begins at 7:15 in the Jackson National Lounge. I'm Mark Bayshore. You're listening to Current State on 90.5 WKAR.
And I'm Current State producer Joe Lindstroth. It is our spring pledge drive. Today is our last day. To give us a call and pledge, 517-353-5000, or head online to WKAR.org and click the Give Now link. We just had Melissa, who sounds so great in her knowledge of classical music.
Impressive.
I was just saying to her, I couldn't do that. I don't know what I'm talking about. and she brings you all the great updates from the MSU Symphony to the LSO. Such rich culture experiences here in mid-Michigan is what we bring you, just part of our show here on Current State. If that's something that you value, please give us a call at 517-353-5000 at WKAR.org. I am going to have to take a moment, sorry development team, to just pause this pledge break for a little bit of a news update here. Mark, what do you got?
That's right. We continue to follow the impact of Congressman Mike Rogers' decision not to seek re-election, and an awful lot of this speculation concerns on what new candidates will, of course, emerge from both the GOP and from the Democrats. State Rep. Andy Shore on his Facebook page, Andy's from Lansing, of course, says he will not be a candidate. So any speculation surrounding Representative Shore apparently is put to bed there. We've also received a statement from State GOP Chairman Party Chairman Bobby Shostak, thanking Chairman Mike Rogers, calling him a leader of our party, state, and country, etc. And Mr. Shostak ends his announcement with the following line: "I'm certain that with our deep bench of solid, principled conservative leaders, we will retain Congressman Rogers' seat this fall." So no mention of any particular candidates there, arguably way too early for that, but Bobby Shostak making that announcement today.
Even within our pledge drive, we can't help but bring you more news. To try and manage the news and everything going on in this show and fit in these pledge breaks, there is just so much to talk about, Mark, in this community.
And today is not the first day that we've kind of abbreviated some
no,
of our pledge breaks
not.
In order to bring you more content, too. So.
And there just is so, there's such a richness in this community. You know, for me personally, I just moved here from Chicago a little over a year ago. I wasn't very familiar with this community. And I have to say, as a journalist and also as a citizen now, there is just so much happening. There is so much that I am so curious about, the stories that we can tell here on Current State.
Mm-hmm.
So many things to bring you. I mean, Mark, you've seen it. People come in my office and I have these folders jammed thick of story ideas. On top of my desk. I leave them for you if I take a half day. Here are the folders. Look through them. You know, and this is what we can't get to them all. We need your help. We need the resources to get to all these big folders on my desk of all these wonderful story ideas about the richness in your community. This is what we bring you on Current State. If that is some value to you, this is the last day of our pledge drive. If you haven't given us a call and you are listening right now, please do. 517-353-5000 or at WKAR.org.
Our aim here on Current State, and really with all of our programming on WKAR, is to add to your quality of life. It's that simple. We create the programs, and you contribute some degree of financial backing, whatever is comfortable and reasonable and in sync with your own financial situation. We totally understand that. Programs that inform and entertain every day. Lot of dollars attached to this, a lot of costs. Please help us with this mission, 517-353-5000. Please call now or go to WKAR.org and make a contribution there.
It's the last day of the spring pledge drive, folks. 517-353-5000 or at WKAR.org. And thank you for listening, and thank you for your donation.
Thanks a lot. Call now if you haven't called already. That's our show for today. Next week on Current State, where is the Midwest? The answer depends on who you're asking. Some maps include states as far south as Georgia, and others count Canadian provinces. We'll speak with a cartographer who has fused together the many definitions of the Midwest. Also, we break down the biggest stories from around the state from month in review. That and more next week on Current State. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. It's Current State on WKAR.